Okay, let's go ahead and get started. My name's Tom Peters, and this is a session on intermediate level session on searching the first search databases. This summer series of online sessions is being sponsored by the good folks at the Mid-Illinois Talking Book Center. Their URL is www.mitbc.org. And I want to thank them, especially Lori Bell, the director, for sponsoring this series of programs. It's also part of what's called the InfoWise project, and the URL for the InfoWise site is www.infoeyes.org. And InfoWise is a multi-state online reference and training service designed specifically for blind and visually impaired individuals. What we're going to do this evening is spend most of our time in what's called the advanced search interface to the first search databases. But before we do that, I want to just briefly review some of the features of this particular online training software that we're using, which is called iVocalize from a group called Talking Communities. If you do want to make a audio recording of tonight's session, it is possible to do that by simultaneously pressing the Alt and the R key for record. And a Save As dialog box will open up, and your cursor should be positioned in the input box where you would type in a file name for the file. The audio file is saved as what's called a WMA or Windows Media Audio file format. And most of the free media player software that you can download from the internet, such as Windows Media Player, Real Player, and Music Match Jukebox, can handle WMA files. And one last thing about the audio recording is to be able to do this, you need to have at least version 9 of Windows Media Player loaded on your computer to make an audio recording. As you've already figured out, to do text chat, to move your cursor into the text chat input box, you simultaneously press Alt and T for text, and then just type in your message and press return. And I'm a sighted individual, so I can respond to any questions or comments that you might happen to type in as we work through the session this evening. And then last but not least, if you do have a microphone connected to your PC, you can speak in what's called voice over IP or Internet Protocol by simultaneously pressing and holding your control key. And then when you're finished speaking, you let up, and that will sort of break the communication chain. Okay, before we dive into the advanced search interface to first search, let me just briefly remind folks of the a little bit about first search that we covered in the basic first search sessions back in June. First search is actually a cluster of approximately 75 databases, and these are what are called proprietary databases, meaning that somebody has to pay to access these databases. And what I mean by somebody is often it's your local public library, or perhaps your entire state might be paying for access to these databases. Often the end users, such as you and myself, don't have to pay, but some sort of institution, often a tax-supported institution, is paying for access to these proprietary databases. Most of these databases include citations to books and journal articles, but increasingly, many of them include the full text of some of these articles and documents and whatnot that they're indexing. The other thing about these databases that you need to keep in mind is that they're comprised of what are called records. And the records represent the articles and the books or whatever it is that the database is indexing. So usually a record is sort of a surrogate for the article or book or document or whatever it might be. Records, in turn, are comprised of fields. And it's the fields within the records that contain the actual data. So there might be, for example, an author field, a journal title field, an abstract field, a subject heading field, All of these things are usually found in these records that are combined, comprise these databases that we're searching. So it's, you know, kind of going out from smallest to largest. You've got fields, then you've got records, then you have databases, and then a service like FirstSearch is a cluster of 75 databases. These fields are what really we're searching when we're searching through a database. We're actually searching for information in specific fields. And the fields may contain alphabetical information, such as the author's names, the article titles, the abstracts, or numerical data, such as years, volume numbers, things like that. And when you search a database, what we're really searching are indexes to one or more of these fields. And what you receive in return to your search is a brief description of the records that matched your search argument. So that in general is sort of how we search databases. And what we're going to focus on tonight is sort of how to translate that general knowledge of how databases work into very specific commands for searching FirstSearch databases. A couple other things about FirstSearch before we dive in. It's a service offered by a company called OCLC. And OCLC creates some of these databases themselves, but most of them are managed by other companies and organizations. So of the 75 databases, I think OCLC maybe produces and maintains about 5 of them. And the other 70 or so are databases that they're just leasing and providing access to as a third-party vendor. The good news here is that through August of this year, through that InfoWise project that I mentioned right at the beginning of this session, we have trial access, and you have trial access to 12 of the 75 FirstSearch databases. So 12 of the more commonly searched and used FirstSearch databases are available free of charge to you to use through the month of August. You can use them as much as you'd like. You can practice with them. Don't worry, you're not going to break any system or anything like that. So I would encourage you to use those databases. And in a minute or so, I will give you the access codes that you need to access the FirstSearch databases that we have on trial through the InfoWise project. As we covered in the basic session, also many public libraries offer access to FirstSearch databases. So you may want to inquire, call your local public library and ask them several questions. First, ask them if they provide access to FirstSearch databases. If they say yes, ask them which ones they provide access to, because most libraries can't afford to subscribe to all 75. So get a list of what's available and maybe a brief description of what's available. And then ask them if the FirstSearch databases and other databases made available through the local public library are available through what they might call dial access or remote access or outside the library access. This means that you can gain access to these databases from home, from work, wherever you have an internet connection that's convenient for you. I know my local public library here offers over 100 databases that I can search right here from my home without physically going into the library. So that's a real good service that most public libraries offer. And also, as I mentioned last time, many states now are providing statewide access to a core cluster of FirstSearch databases. So when you talk to your reference librarian at your local public library, ask him or her if the state in which you reside has a statewide agreement for access to one or more FirstSearch databases. So that's just a little bit of background information about FirstSearch. Let's go ahead and log on now. Within this software that we're using, I've turned on a feature that's called synchronized browsing. There's an embedded browser window within this software. And so wherever I go with my browser should also be accessible from your embedded browser window. I'm a sighted individual myself, and I've never used either JAWS or WindowEyes. So if you're using some sort of screen reader software, I'll leave it up to you to how you want to manage whether it's going to start speaking through text-to-speech the content of these web pages as we move through into the first search databases. Okay, if we weren't doing this as part of a group session, the first thing, if you were just, you know, doing this on your own, the first thing you'd want to do is make sure that your browser software is running. Browser software such as Internet Explorer, Netscape, and there are dozens, if not hundreds, of other browser software programs that are out there. The URL, sort of the address for First Search, is simply www.firstsearch, and that's all one word, firstsearch, F-I-R-S-T-S-E-A-R-C-H, .org. Okay, I've just entered that URL and gone to it, and this takes me to the First Search login screen. And there are two input boxes here. One is asking for our authorization number, and the second one is asking for our password. So I want to, my cursor's in that first box looking for the authorization number. The authorization number for the free trial access through InfoEyes through August of this year, that authorization number is 100274426. Again, that's 100274426. Okay, I've input that now, and then I tab down to the second input box, which is where we want to put in our password. And the password for this free trial is RAG2GREET. Again, that password is RAG2GREET, reg to greet, and uppercase or lowercase makes no difference. Okay, so I've input that now into the password field, and I've tabbed down, and I'm going to press return on this label, a button that for a sighted individual is labeled start. Okay, we've now logged on to First Search, and we're at the First Search home screen. And what we see here is the basic search interface that we covered in the basic session last month. But as you move through that screen, near the end of that, as you tab through it or arrow down or however you do that with your screen reader software, you'll come to a drop-down menu that is labeled for a sighted individual with the label Jump to Advanced Search. Jump to Advanced Search. Once you encounter that, then you want to interact with that drop-down menu, which is asking you to select a database to search. So I'm going to select one of these 12 databases that's available to us through this logon that we're using, this trial access logon that we're using. Now, one of the reasons I told you that OCLC maintains and produces some of these databases and merely vends others is because often OCLC will list their own databases first. They sort of give them a privileged position in some of these lists, and they're doing that here when we're trying to select a database to search. At the very top, they list the two databases that they produce and maintain. One is called Article First, which is a large number of journal and magazine articles. And the other one is a thing called WorldCat, a database called WorldCat, which is, you could almost think of as a library catalog for thousands of libraries worldwide. It lists books and scores and audio recordings and the types of things that you normally find in a bricks and mortar library. So they list those two things first, and then below that they list all 12 databases in alphabetical order. So then you see things like ABI Inform, they list Article First again, Book Review, ERIC, Fact Search, General Science Abstracts, and on down. Now, one thing to be wary of is these databases often have fairly long names, and in these kind of menus, they often abbreviate the names so that they will fit easily into the menu format. So, for example, a database called Periodical Abstracts is abbreviated as PERABS, and Reader's Guide Abstracts is condensed into one big word called Reader's Guide Abs. A database called General Science Abstracts is compressed into one word, GenSciAbs. So again, as screen reader software reads that, it probably isn't sounding very coherent, but hopefully you can make sense out of what these databases are in their abbreviated format. Because really, to get started with the advanced search process, you need to select a database that you want to start searching in. For the purposes of this demonstration, I'm going to select the periodical abstracts, or PER abs. Okay, I've done that now, and now I'm at the periodical abstracts advanced search interface. And as with the last session, I almost have to apologize because there are so many drop-down menus and input fields and sort of folder type tabs and hot links on this page that there's, you know, as you work through it with a screen reader software, there's just going to be a lot of things that you're going to encounter. I won't cover everything that's in here, but I'm going to try to sort of walk through here and let you know sort of what some of the important fields are and what some of the important options are in order to conduct an advanced search in periodical abstracts or really any other first search database. We're just using periodical abstracts as a sample database for this session. So the first thing is that at both the beginning and at the end of the major sort of input area where you're going to put in your search argument, you've got two hot buttons, a set of two hot buttons. One for a sighted individual is labeled search. And so once you sort of input what you want, you can locate that button either at the beginning or at the end of the major input area on this screen and press enter. The other button is labeled for a sighted individual as clear. And if you tab to or arrow to or navigate to that button, which is again located either above or below the major input area, that's going to clear all the information that you've put into those various search fields and whatnot. So that's sort of once we've done everything, we're gonna find those buttons. We're gonna find that search button, and then that by clicking on that or pressing enter when you're on that button actually executes the search for us. Okay, in the major search area on this screen, the first thing they indicate is which database we're currently searching. Because we selected periodical abstracts, that's listed there. But again, you've got a drop-down menu that you can, if you want to, if you say, no, I really don't want to search periodical abstracts, you can just access that drop-down menu. And again, you'll have those 12 databases available to you. And once again, because Article First and WorldCat are actually produced by OCLC, they list those as a top. That's kind of I really don't know why they do that, but they're just sort of giving them a privileged position in the list of databases. Okay, the next thing you're going to encounter are a series of eight of them, input boxes. And so I'm going to go through and kind of talk about why we have these eight and how you use them to construct your search argument. The first thing you're doing in the first input box, you're going to input a keyword that you want to search for. Maybe for purposes of a demonstration, I'm going to be looking for the three words digital talking books. So I'm going to input those into this first of eight input boxes here. Okay, I've done that now. And then in the second box of these eight is a drop-down menu that you select which field you want these three words to appear in. So that's why I was explaining about the record structure and how it's made up of fields. And so it's a drop-down menu, and it lists sort of the major fields of the records in the periodical abstracts database. So we have things by default. It's going to search in what they call the keyword field, which is things like title. it's a combination of title, subject heading, abstract, things like that. But if you just want to search the abstract, you can do that. If you just want to search the author field, you can do that, for example. If you want to search the entire full text, you can do that. You can search the by publication date. You can search by subject. You can search by title. You can search by volume number. There are a number of fields you can search on, but I'm going to leave it at just the keyword field because really I'm looking for a topic, and a keyword search is a good way to find information on a topic. Okay, the third of these eight boxes that you're going to encounter is you select what's called a sort of a connecting search argument operator. And let me explain what's going on here. There's this, when you're searching a database, there's a form of logic you're engaged in that's called Boolean logic. I believe the French mathematician's name was Charles Boulez. I believe it was a 19th century mathematician who developed this form of logic. And the major, what they call operators, or sort of argument connectors, are and, or, and not. If you connect two words using an and operator, you're saying, find those records in the database that contain both the first word or cluster of words and the second word or cluster of words that I've entered in my search argument. So if I look, for example, for dogs and cats, I'm going to find only those records that include information about dogs and cats. The second Boolean operator is called the OR operator. It says if one or the other of the search words that I've entered are in the records, then it's going to return those. So if I say dogs or cats as my argument, it's going to find records that contain dogs. It's going to find records that contain information about cats. And it's also going to find records that contain information about dogs and cats. So generally, an OR operation is a little more expansive than an AND operation. You're going to find more records by saying dogs or cats than you're going to find if you say dogs and cats. So that's all just sort of background information. Oh, I'm sorry. Then let me go back and say that the third Boolean operator is the NOT operator, and that's sort of the exclusionary sort of operation. If I say dogs, not cats, then it's going to find only those records that talk about dogs. But if it says anything about cats anywhere on the title or the abstract or whatever, you know, whatever I'm searching, it's not going to return that record. So if I say dogs, not cats, it's going to find only articles about dogs, but not cats. So coming back then to this series of eight boxes, it's really a drop-down menu that gives you those three operators. So for this particular sample search, I'm going to say, okay, well, sometimes they're called digital talking books, but sometimes they're called maybe audio ebooks. So I'm going to actually use the OR operator and say digital talking books as keywords or audio ebooks as keywords. That's going to be my search argument. So I'm going to access that drop-down menu and tab down or arrow down till I see the OR operator and then select that one. Okay, I've done that now, and now I'm going to go to the fourth box, which is the second set of keywords that I want to search for. So here's where I'm going to enter audio ebooks. The fifth box is just, again, the fields that you want to search. So I'm going to leave that as keywords, again, because I'm really looking for information on topics. The sixth box is, again, another Boolean operator selection drop-down menu. So I'm going to say, okay, I'm looking for digital talking books or audio ebooks. Then I'm going to say I want to find also, and I want to have maybe something dealing with blindness in these records. So I'm going to say and, leave it as and then go on to the seventh box and type in blindness. And then the eighth box is, again, a drop-down field selector menu. I'm going to, again, leave it as keyword because that's basically what I'm doing is a keyword search. I'm looking for information on a topic. So to go back and summarize what I've done in these eight boxes, I've said, search for, in the periodical abstracts database, digital talking books as keywords, or audio ebooks as keywords, and blindness as a keyword. So you can think about the computer's going to go out and find all those records dealing with digital talking books. It's going to find all the records dealing with audio ebooks. It's going to lump those together into one big set. Then it's going to find all the articles dealing with blindness. And then it's going to compare those two sets and find only those articles that deal with digital talking books / audio ebooks and blindness. Okay, so we've really kind of constructed what would be called a Boolean search argument here in this advanced mode in First Search. Okay, so that's sort of the first two stages. We've verified that we're searching the periodical abstracts database, and we've constructed our basic argument here for how to search for things. Now, in advanced search mode, you also can limit your search to in various ways. And let me just briefly describe how you can limit your search argument. First of all, you can limit by year. You could say, well, I'm really interested in recent articles about digital talking books and blindness. So as you maneuver through this field, navigate through this, through this page, you're going to run into a description of limit to year, and then there's going to be an input box. You want to move your cursor into that input box and then type in the year range that you're interested in. So if we say, let's look at stuff that it was published between, let's say, 2000 and 2004, the way I would do that, it input it into the input box here, is I would type out the full, 2000-2004. 2000 for the year 2000, and then a hyphen, and then 2004. We'll tell the computer that I'm looking for only those articles that appeared between, January of 2000 and basically the present. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. Okay, the second type of limiting that you can do in periodical abstracts is by what they call article type. And by default, you're going to search for all types of articles. But what they mean by that is, there are different types of articles in magazines. Some things are book reviews, some things are commentaries, some are editorials, some are what they call feature articles, some articles are works of fiction, some articles are interviews, some articles are just sort of news articles. Some are obituaries. You can choose which type of article that you're particularly interested in. But I think for my search, I'm just going to limit it to, I'm going to leave it at all types of articles, because really anything dealing with digital talking books or audio books and blindness would be of interest to me. Okay, the third type of limit that you can do in advanced search mode in First Search is you can limit to only those articles that for which full text is available right within the periodical abstracts database. And again, as you navigate through this search input screen, you're going to come to a point that's labeled limit to full text, and that's just a checkbox. So you want to move your cursor into that checkbox and check that as if you want to search only for full text. I'm going to do that now just for this particular demonstration. Okay, I've checked that box. Now, the next thing that you can limit it to is to a particular library. So, for example, if you really want to find only things, articles or books or whatever it is you're searching for that are only at a particular library, you can do that in First Search. The bad news, though, is that you need to know every library in OCLC has been assigned a 3- or 4-letter code. You need to know what that code is to be able to search just for that library. And actually, my advice is I wouldn't necessarily limit that, use that limiting feature very often, because, a lot of this information is available online, and whether it's not in your local library often isn't really pertinent to your search and getting access to that information. So I just want to make you aware it's available to you, but in general, I'd say you might want to just ignore that particular feature. Okay, the last thing that's available, believe it or not, there's another thing that's available in the advanced search interface, is that you can rank your results in various ways. By default, there's no particular ranking to the results. I think they just sort of put them up there in the order in which the records were added to the database. So generally, you're going to see more recent articles first, but not necessarily. But there are two other options that you can choose from. It's a drop-down menu. It's labeled for a cited individual. It says rank by, and then it's a drop-down menu with three options. No ranking, which is the default. You can rank by what they call relevance. So they have a sort of a computer algorithm that looks at the articles and says, we think this article is the most relevant article based upon what you've input in your search argument, and it'll put that one to the top if you choose relevance. The third sort of way you can rank things is by date. And what they mean there is it's going to be in reverse chronological order. So the most recent articles will appear at the top of the summary list of results. And then you'll just go move backward in chronological time as you move through your list of results based on your search. So I'm going to choose date as the rank that we want to use because generally I'm more interested in the most recent articles on a particular topic, and I want to see those first. Okay, so now if you followed me, and I apologize. It's sort of a trade-off between simplicity and ease of use on one hand and power and complexity on the other hand. And really with this advanced search, you've got a lot of power, but you've also got to sort of deal with the complexity of this. So what I've done now is I've told First Search, I want to search in periodical abstracts. I've constructed my search argument. I want to search for digital talking books or audio ebooks and blindness. Everything is keywords. I'm looking for articles that appeared between 2000 and 2004, between 2000 and the present. I'm looking for all types of articles, but I want to limit my results to just things that are available in full text right here within periodical abstracts. I don't care what library code. I mean, I haven't put anything in there. But I do want to have things ranked by in reverse, sorted in reverse chronological order. So I've done all this now, and I want to actually execute my search. So I'm going to tab down to the search hot button and press enter. Okay, I executed my search, and I found one article that matched all those criteria. It was an article that appeared in a journal called American Libraries. It appeared in December of 2002, so it falls in that date range. It's available in full text in HTML format right here in periodical abstracts. And it must have digital talking books and or Audible ebooks. Somewhere in the title descriptor field or abstract field. So, by using the advanced search mode in First Search, I was able to zero in on one article that should be very pertinent to my particular topic. Okay, now before we move on to sort of looking at how to work with results. Let me show you one other thing you can do in First Search that's really quite nice. As I mentioned, First Search is a total of 75 databases. Again, it depends on what authorization code and sort of what method of access you're using. Depends on what database is available to you, but often you'll have access to 12 or 15 or 20 databases, depending on how it's funded in your state and at your local public library. But it is possible in First Search to search more than one database simultaneously. And I just want to briefly explain how to do that. Okay, to do that, on every screen that we've been interacting with, there are I call them folder tabs. They look almost like a file folder arrangement that you in an old style paper file folder, where you've got the folder and then you got a tab at the top that often has a brief descriptive heading that tells you what's in that folder. So as you navigate around on this page, you're going to run into a series of these folder tabs. And on the screen we're particularly looking at now, we're looking at the results folder, but other folders listed are searching and databases and home. To do a multiple database search, you want to navigate to and then click on the database file folder tab. So I'm going to navigate to that. It's located near the top or the beginning of the screen as you navigate through that screen. And I'm going to find that and then press on that. So I pull up my list of databases. Okay, I've done that now, and it lists for me all 12 of the databases that are available through this trial authorization code. And it indicates to me that Periodical Abstracts is the one that I currently have selected. To the left of each database name is a little checkbox. And so you can check up to three databases to search at any particular time. So actually, I want to search in Periodical Abstracts. I'm also going to search in Reader's Guide Abstracts. So I'm going to tab to and click on that. And then I also want to search on, let's say, General Science Abstracts. That would be the third database that I want to search. Okay, so I've selected my three databases to search simultaneously. And again, a sort of a common feature of FirstSearch is that they list your select or search buttons or clear buttons. All those buttons are often listed both at the top and at the bottom of whatever it is you're interacting with. In this case, we're interacting with a list of databases. And that other screen where we were inputting a search argument. So I either want to move upward or downward through this list of databases till I get to my select button. And then I want to click on that or press return so that I'm selecting these three databases. Okay, I've done that now. So now it's telling me that I'm going to search simultaneously in three databases: Periodical Abstracts, General Science Abstracts, and Reader's Guide Abstracts. And it gives me a very similar kind of input screen that we've already worked through previously in this session. I'm going to change my search argument a little bit and broaden it out and just do a different kind of search. I'm going to search for any articles dealing with blindness as a keyword, and then I'm just going to leave the other input fields blank. I'm just going to do a really broad search dealing with blindness. I'm going to search any possible year. And I want to rank things by relevance, let's say. Let's search by relevance. And let's just see how many articles about blindness are within these three sort of general databases. And we're going to search them all at once. So I'm going to tab down now and press the search key. Okay, now I've gone back to a results page. And whereas before, where I did that really kind of complex sample search, I found just one article. Now, by doing a sort of very broad search across three databases, I found over 3,500 articles, records for articles found. And it even tells me here on this summary page how many articles were found in each database. So, like in General Science Abstract, it found 532. In Periodical Abstracts, it found 2,314. And in Reader's Guide Abstracts, it found 675. And then it ranked them by its relevancy ranking. So the top ranked article was an article on blindness control in the India in the nation of India. And so all of these articles should be dealing with blindness in a general way. I'm looking down here and I'm seeing that, for example, Preventing Blindness Worldwide is the seventh article listed here. And it appeared in a journal called the British Medical Journal. So there's a lot of articles here, and I want to just use this as a way of showing you how to work with your search results. So now I've got a large search set of about 3,500 articles, and so how can I sort of manipulate these things to find those things of interest to me? Okay, the first thing that's really helpful here is that each article, each record is given a number, just a numeric number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's also a checkbox next to each of these articles. So as I go through them and look at their brief descriptions, I can actually check certain articles for sort of further processing. So if I want to email, let's say, a few articles to myself, I can just find those ones that are of particular interest to me and click on those and give you, that way you're sort of selecting things before you deal with them further. So, for example, this article about preventing blindness worldwide might be of interest, of particular interest to me. So I'm going to check that one. Okay. Now, so if, for example, if I wanted to email that thing to me, I would just click on email. There's a hot link on this page here that to a sighted individual is labeled as email. And if you navigate to that and click on it, it's going to give me the option to just send those marked records, those ones that I've checked, only those to my email account. And so I've only marked one, so I can just have that one thing sent to my email account. So when working with results, being able to check those things is a real handy way to manage your articles and manipulate them that way. I'm going to go back now and conduct another search and do a different type of search and look for a particular type of article. Okay, I'm back now to my advanced search screen, and I'm going to go back and search just in periodical abstracts. I'm going to search for blindness as a keyword. I don't care what year it appeared in, but I'm going to look for only articles that are dealing with that have been dealing with interviews. Article type, under article type, I'm going to select interview. I don't care if it's full text or not, so I'm going to uncheck that box. And I'm going to choose date or reverse chronological order as my ranking method. Okay, I'm going to conduct this search now and see how many articles we find in periodical abstracts on the general topic of blindness that are interview articles. Okay, I found 7 articles, and it looks like, just based upon the summary descriptions, that these are all interview articles. The most recent one was an interview with Ray Charles that appeared in Esquire magazine in August of 2003. So I've got a smaller set now, 7 articles. Let me tell you one thing, one really useful key that's option that's available here in advanced search mode. There's a hot button that's called sort. And if you navigate around the screen and find the sort button and click on it, it actually gives you a number of options on how you could sort this set. The reason I want to really dwell on this sort a little bit because it's a misnomered option in a way, because it actually gives you a number of options that you can set up in your first search searching. Not only can you sort things in certain ways, for example, you can sort by author or by date or by title, ascending, descending. You can select all of that. But there are other things you can do in this page that might be helpful to you as you navigate through the first search databases. One thing is you can actually choose how many records you want to be, how many summary records you want to be displayed on each page in first search. By default, it's 10 summary records per page, but you can change that to 5 or 20 or 50 or even 100 summary records per page if you want to. And again, it sort of depends upon your personal preference. Some people would rather deal with a lot of items on one page than having to flip through page after page after page of summary results. So that's an option you can change here on this sort page. The other thing you can input here is an email address that, for example, I often email results to myself because I just find it an easy way to manage things. So I could input my email address here, and then anytime I want to email something, it's going to show up as going to me. So I don't have to constantly be typing that thing back in. Then there are other things about the basic display of FirstSearch that you can control from this screen. For example, JavaScript, which is by default on, can be turned off. Framed links, which are by default on, can be turned off. You can even change the character set from standard to what they call Unicode. And you can even change the color scheme in FirstSearch, from blue to green to gray. There's a number of things. So for persons, for example, with a certain type of color blindness, being able to change the color display could have a major impact on how accessible FirstSearch is for them. So that's why I mentioned this sort button, because it really gives you access to a number of things that you can do in FirstSearch to make it more accessible and usable. We're running out of time. I've got 4 minutes before the hour, 3 minutes before the hour, but there's just one other thing in advanced search that I want to tell you about. You'll recall that in the basic session we talked about emailing records to yourself. There's another thing that's available called exporting records. And exporting records are like direct downloads of records right to your computer in text file and straight text format. So for example, this list of seven articles that are interviews about blindness, I could export these seven just by navigating within this screen to a hot link that to a sighted individual is labeled export, clicking on that, and then it asks me, I want to export records 1 to 7. I want to export all those records. I want to export them as a text file. And they give you other options here. There's a software program called EndNote. There's another software program called RefWorks. These are what are called citation management software programs that people use who do a lot of research. But if you just want to have a text file, you can click on that radio, I think they're called radio buttons, and that will say it's going to send it right to your computer as a straight text file. So I'm going to do that right now. And then navigate down to a hot linked button that's for a sighted individual is labeled as export. And then by clicking on that, then I get sort of a standard dialog box that says, do you want to download this file? Do you want to save it on your computer? This is sort of a standard Windows kind of dialog box. I'm going to say yes to saving it on my computer. And then another sort of standard Windows Save As box opens up. By default, my documents are saved in a folder called My Documents. And then I can give it any file name that I want to. So I can just type in a file name. I could say, blindness interviews or something like that. And then press enter or save. And those records about those seven records will be automatically saved into a simple text document that I then can pull up in any kind of a word processor or text editor. So I just wanted to point that out to you as another simple yet powerful way to sort of capture information of interest to you out of one or more of these FirstSearch databases. Okay, so that's sort of a general overview of how the advanced features of FirstSearch operate. I hope it's reasonably clear to you, sort of how this all works. I encourage you to practice and experiment with these databases. The authorization code and password are in the outline that I the URL. I put that up on my website, and the URL was distributed via email yesterday, I believe it was. So feel free to go in and use these. You can use them to your heart's content. And just try some of these features and functionality of First Search. It is a complex system, but like I said in the beginning session on First Search, what you find in First Search is really going to complement what you find by searching the World Wide Web. So I think it's worth your while. It depends on your research interests, your reference interests, but I would say that First Search is a very powerful set of databases, a very worthwhile set of databases to search. And then last but not least, let me remind you that if you do experience any problems when searching First Search or using the internet or the web in any way, feel free to go to www.infoeyes.org, and there are reference librarians who are on duty generally during normal business hours, who can help you with finding information and navigating through First Search and the web and all the other information resources that are available online. With that, I'll stop now. Are there any questions or comments or other tips and tricks people have found out when searching First Search? If not, thanks for attending tonight's session. The last thing I need to tell you is how to get out of First Search once you're in there. On all screens, there's a exit hot link, so you're going to need to navigate to that exit hot link on the First Search screen. And then click on that or press enter, and that will just exit you out of First Search. And because you're just using a standard browser, it's just going to take you back, and you can just browse someplace else on the internet, and you'll be out of First Search. And you can also, to get out of the iVocalize room, you can just press Alt and F4 keys, and that will get you out. Irina, you were asking, can you also search in books and find the whole text or only on articles? I don't think there are many full text books available in any of these First Search databases yet. There are certainly some very long reports and documents, 100 pages, 200 page documents, for example, in that ERIC database, which is mainly educational information in the field of education. There are some sort of book length things. But for the major book index, that WorldCat index, it doesn't provide full text access yet. They may be working on that. It'd be wonderful if you could search and then find the full text of the book as well. But that's currently not available in WorldCat, which is the major index or database of information about books. They've got a lot of records in that database. I think they've got about 52 million records now. So it's a huge database, but it's still sort of telling you about the book without actually containing the full text of the book. But for the article databases, the indexes to articles, more and more, a lot of those articles available full text online, typically in HTML format, which I understand is fairly accessible to blind and visually impaired individuals. And in the summary record, it'll tell you what file format you're dealing with. So I usually run into either HTML format or PDF format. If there aren't any other questions, thanks very much for attending tonight. And I hope you have a satisfying and satisfactory searching of First Search databases. Thanks again.